listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio and Instagram. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams, stop dieting so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That is what it is all about. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. How amazing would that be to wake up and not think about what you're going to eat today or what you're not going to eat today or how many calories you're going to burn and all of that stuff that takes up so much space in your head? Don't you have other things to think about? Yes, you do. And I would love to hear what those things are. I would love to hear what is weighing on you and eating at you. The number is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind. And eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. It is what is eating at you, what is going on with you. It's not what you're eating that's the problem. It's why. So give me a call and let me know what's happening for you. And let's figure it out together. Okay, so I had a request, a couple of requests. Someone asked me if I would talk about my diet like a dog. My diet like a dog philosophy. I think I talked about this sometime, I don't know, in the last year, in the last 2 years. Time is just a big, I don't know, just a big crazy question mark right now. I can't believe I've been doing the show over 4 years. So I'm not sure when I did this. You might have heard this before, but I'm going to do it again. So for those of you who haven't heard how that you should take care of yourself as you take care of your dogs. If you have a dog or you know someone who does, think of how life would be if you treated yourself as you treated your dog or the way your friends treat their dogs. So first suggestion, do the following. Pay attention to your personality, not your weight. Do you know anyone who is focused on how much their dog weighs, how good their dog looks in any particular leash, collar, or outfit? Maybe they say their dog is a pudge, but they usually say it with affection. Usually people talk about how smart their dog is, how feisty, how funny, how goofy, or how shy, or whatever, that kind of thing. They say, oh, plays well with others. Not my dog is too overweight to even be seen in the company of other dogs. What if you focused on your personality, not your pounds? How would you describe yourself? What qualities would you like about yourself? What qualities would you focus on yourself? Next, pay attention to your needs. If your dog is hungry, do you say, what's wrong with you? God, I can't believe you're hungry again. Okay, you can have a little food, but not too much. No, you feed your dog. If your dog needs to go out, you take your dog out. You let them go out the doggy door. You don't say, you know, your basic needs are just too much. You are just too much to handle. I can't deal. If you're hungry, give yourself permission to eat. So many people battle themselves and fight their hunger, which of course often leads to overeating, either because the anticipation of deprivation leads to you wanting more of something, or because you starve yourself and you get so ravenous you can't stop once you start. Physical deprivation leads to starvation, as I was just saying. By the time you finally let yourself eat, it is hard to stop. And if you think you can't have something, well, of course, you're going to want it more. So don't make a character issue out of hunger. Another suggestion is to act like a dog, not in the men are dogs kind of way, but in the ways that dogs are fully in the moment. They are attuned to themselves. They naturally engage in self-care. Vets often say that you should put a bowl of dog food out at a particular time and then take it away 10 minutes later So the dog will eat it all at once. That helps with training. And, you know, what happens is if your dog thinks the kibble is going to be taken away, they eat it out of a, oh, I better get it while it's here kind of mentality. But if you don't take away that bowl and you leave it out, dogs only eat until they're satisfied. The same thing with humans. If you think this is the last pizza or ice cream or cookies or hamburger or fries or whatever it is, this is the last forbidden food that I am allowed to have until I lose weight, then you are probably going to eat more of it than you would otherwise. Again, deprivation leads to binging, and that is for both physical and psychological reasons. If you think I can have this anytime I want, then you can decide whether or not you want it. Case in point, Halloween. Some of you know the story of my daughter and the Halloween situation. Actually, both my daughters had a Halloween situation. So my older daughter is the one who had a friend whose her parents were those people who said, "Oh, you can only have 2 pieces of Halloween candy, and then we're going to take your candy and we're going to give you 2 pieces of candy a day, and that's all you can have." So naturally, she ate until she was sick. She ate so much Halloween candy while we were trick-or-treating, her parents weren't there, it was just us, that she actually got a stomach ache. Whereas our daughter knew that she could have as much candy as she wanted, so she had a few pieces and she was done. She knew she could have it, so she could decide if she wanted it or not. Then my other daughter, years later, oh, do I have a caller? I have a caller. Welcome, caller.
Hello. Hi, Dr. Nina.
Hey, Josh. Good to hear from you.
Josh. I wanted to say that I eat fast, and I've been told that I'm like the fastest eater that anyone's ever seen. And I think I talked to you maybe the first time that I called, or maybe just on on Instagram. But that's a problem that I haven't figured out yet.
Well, that's often related to shame and to deprivation.
Okay, that resonates with me.
Tell me more. Shame, and deprivation both?
Yeah, I feel like I'm like covering up something. If I just eat it quickly, I don't have to look at it or something. Yeah. Deprivation, I would say, I'd probably say more shame, maybe.
Yeah. Almost as if eating itself, there's something wrong with you for needing to eat or being someone who has hunger or physical needs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's you're right on it. I think that's it. And I think that, you know, it's interesting that you said shame and deprivation, because maybe there's shame in being not deprived, but in needing, in wanting.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So say more about that. What is the shame for you in needing and wanting?
I think I might have felt ashamed at some point, probably for just being defenseless and needing, you know, being someone needy, you know? And then maybe when I was fed, I had to eat it up so quickly. Maybe it was almost like, here you go, eat. Now you're happy, you know, which is something you might do to a dog who is really bothering you, who was constantly nagging you for food. You know what I mean? Here, now be happy. You're fed. So it's almost like, well, now maybe you're not making the dog feel ashamed, but you might be feeling making the child feel ashamed.
And when we have some needs that are not met, and that we, and when needs are not met, we feel humiliated. So if we have the need for love and affection and attention and a certain kind of way of being related to, and we don't get that, it feels shameful. It feels humiliating. And then that gets extended and generalized to many other needs. So a need, you know, we have a need for attention and connection, and we have a need for food. But if you feel shame about one, you feel shame about the other.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the way to combat that is to say, okay, I'm just going to allow my dog or my child just to find out what's going on in their head, to find out what they're feeling and what they need. I mean, or just be very regular. You know, if it's a dog, you know, you feed the dog at the exact time every day, so the dog knows, you know, when he's being fed, and you could walk the dog at the same time every day, so the dog knows that he's going to be walked or she's going to be walked. And the rest of the time, the dog can just be, you know, chill or whatever. And I feel like it would be nice to, you know, to have some expectation on the child, on the child's part, so the child doesn't end up feeling ashamed.
Yes, shame is one of the most destructive experiences that people can have, because shame is there's something wrong with me. That's what shame feels like. So if you feel shame about your needs, and that can include the need for food, our basic needs, our physical needs, and our emotional needs. If you feel shame about one, you feel shame about the other. And shame is a sense of there's something wrong with me. So in your case, Josh, when you say eating fast, it's like the faster you eat, the sooner you meet the need, the less the shame. That even needing to eat is exposing a sense of shamefulness.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the guy in the dungeon who's getting fed bread and water, he just eats it so quickly because it's almost like he doesn't want to upset his master, you know? Here's some food, you know? It's like, you know, it brings to mind a really horrible, torturing situation.
I mean, look at your associations. They're so grim and dark, and you're talking about just eating, which in a perfect world, food is something that we enjoy. Yes, enjoy, that nourishes and nurtures our bodies. But when it is turned, when hunger is turned into something perverse and pathological and shameful, we just want to get it over with. And then when food also represents that need, right? Food represents relationship. Food represents bond. Food represents so much. So you're not just hungry for food, you're hungry for relationship. But, you know, it's kind of a double whammy. You want to get rid of the shame by eating fast so you don't feel the shame of even having hunger. But you also want to take in as much food as possible because that symbolically can fill you up.
Yeah.
And, emotionally.
I feel like I would like to enjoy the space of eating. You know, it would be interesting to enjoy savoring small bites for me. You know, it would be interesting to have a sense of a longer period of time to see if I feel threatened or if I feel scared. You know, to see what comes up. But, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we eat every day. So the time between eats might also have something to do with it too, because it's all sort of a timing thing. And also the more food you eat per time is definitely the more food you're taking in too.
And my suggestion would be think symbolically, what am I hungry for? What is the emptiness within? What do I need to fill? Because there are two levels that are going on. One is you're hungry because you're hungry and you need nourishment. And the other is you know, symbolically hungry, you know, what, hungry for love, hungry for affection, hungry for attention, hungry for acknowledgement. There's so much that that we experience in terms of symbolic hunger that we express with actual food.
Yes, and I might be that way with relationships. I might want relationships to go very quickly. And in that case, I might be missing some of the intimacy. So it's probably an issue of intimacy, where intimacy was made to feel threatening, or there was a lot of shame, which we just talked about. And so I could see it affecting relationship too, where, you know, if you meet someone one day, they need to be the perfect person the next day, or you have to do this by this certain time, you know, whether it's a man or a woman, platonic or romantic, you know what I mean? And I just feel like that's totally unreasonable. So the idea of eating a lot of food in a very short amount of time could mean in business, in professional life, just needing things to be perfect almost.
And if they're not perfect, what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, I'm going to die because I'm not going to eat at all. And so that's the fear. And maybe that's what the shame is about, you know, being someone who needs basic needs, being someone who needs love, being someone who needs attention for their own livelihood, and having almost shame about that. I mean, from a philosophical perspective, we shouldn't have been born, you know, in a sense. We're burdening the world with our birth, you know, but that's not realistic. You know, it's not positive. It's not healthy to think that way. So I think there's something there that probably would have to do with just not feeling very good just for being alive almost.
And you learned that, right? You learned that sense that your presence was somehow a burden. And so therefore, if your presence is a burden to others, so it seems, then then any needs feel like too much. And so any needs have to be resolved quickly. And physical hunger is a need that you have to meet. And that's probably why you eat fast. It's like to get rid of the sense of having a need, because having a need was made you feel as if you were a burden, unwanted, and too much.
Yeah. And I think shame is something, obviously, you could probably talk an hour about, because I feel like that's the main thing. We haven't really been able to get past this word called shame. And from what I've understood about shame, you can have a good reaction to it or a bad reaction to it. But the one thing that you can't do is, I would say, in my own words, easily get rid of it.
No, you cannot easily get rid of it, but you can get rid of it. So the difference between shame and guilt is about something you've done. Let's use a food analogy. Oh, I ate too much pizza. I feel guilty. Shouldn't have eaten all that. You feel bad about something you did or something you didn't do. I should have gone to work, but I called in sick, so I feel guilty. That is about things that you did or didn't do. Shame, which is much more pervasive and painful and awful, shame is about you, that there's something wrong with you. Whereas guilt is, there's something wrong with what you did or didn't do. Shame is, there's something wrong with you. Guilt is, I feel bad that I did that. Shame is, I feel bad about myself. And
yeah, and I've also heard it described by, I won't mention the name of the person. I don't think it really matters. I mean, it's a psychoanalyst, Adam Phillips. But he says shame is an issue between what our ideal self would want. So it means that we really don't want what we think we want. So shame is a conflict between the ideal self, the ideal ego, with the ego that we really actually are. So if I'm eating really fast and I'm feeling shameful, I'm in conflict with a part of myself that I would like to be, but I really wouldn't like to be. That I'm ashamed because I'm projecting something into the world that I'm not really like. And I don't know what that means. Maybe you could help me.
Well, I would take it away from theory and more towards experience. That you got a notion that your needs were too much for others. You were told in some tacitly told that you were, or overtly told that you were somehow a burden and that your needs are too much. And so when you experience your needs, you identify with that other and view yourself as too much, as well as it is humiliating to want something you don't get. The allegory of the sour grapes is a really important one to keep in mind. In the allegory, it's an Aesop fable. It's a fox. I don't know why it's a fox, but the fox sees these grapes that are hanging there just tantalizingly out of reach. And the fox tries every which way to get those grapes. The fox really, really, really wants those grapes. They look delicious. But the fox is unable to get the grapes. And so the fox turns his back on the grapes and says, oh, they're probably sour anyway. Why do I share this and why is this pertinent? Because that's what we tell ourselves. We don't want what we want. It's shame. Otherwise, we feel shame. So your feeling shame for eating has to do with a shame for wanting and not having those wants met. And that can get transferred to food. Wanting more love and not getting it is humiliating and shameful, feels bad. And that wanting more love can turn into wanting more food. And then we feel guilty and shameful about food when really the real shame is about the pain of wanting love and connection and not getting it.
Yeah. And you know, I think one of his quotes was to transform shame into style is not to settle for it. So his point is, there's nothing we can do about it. But if we're able to recreate ourselves, in a sense, around it and live with it in a way that it makes us who we are. You know, in a sense, a style of the way we are or the character we are in the world, then it's sort of pushing back against it.
Okay, but then I also invite you to think less theoretically and more specifically about your experience, because when we talk about something, we're not feeling the pain of it. You're talking about the getting in touch with the pain and shame and all the bad feelings that you would feel if you weren't eating fast, if you were to get in touch with what it's like to want, to need, to yearn, to wish for, to be hungry for, to be empty, to be alone,
that's right.
To crave.
Yeah, because those feelings don't go away. Is that what you're saying?
They have to be. You can't think them away. You have to heal them. You have to recognize if you're eating super fast and there's a reason. And that reason is there's something very uncomfortable about getting in touch with needing. And then go backwards from that. Why should you be feeling that way about needing? Well, your needs were not met. You were made to feel like your needs were too much. So you're avoiding that by just eating fast instead of, okay, one foot in the present, this is what you're experiencing, one foot in the past, where does it come from? And think about that little boy who had these needs that were not met, and how and heal him, go through a mourning process of what happened to you and what didn't happen.
Yeah. You know, it's very difficult. Yeah, it would be very difficult to say, well, that happened in the past, and in the present, I don't need food. No, I mean, the relationship with food is ongoing for the rest of our lives. So it's not as if you can ever end or the relationship you have with food. You can only try to change it. Is that correct?
You change your relationship with food by recognizing the symbolism of it. When you get more comfortable with needing and not feeling like your needs are a burden, then food becomes breakfast, lunch, and dinner and snacks. When food is a representation of your needs, which correlate to shame, then eating and being hungry is terribly shameful and horrible, and you got to get it over with really fast.
Yeah, I think that's what it is for me. Definitely. So, you know, the symbolism, I would say, is probably just, you know, something that I could work on in terms of, you know, I must not be seeing food, you know, in the present. I must be seeing a parent, or I might be feeling something that's not happening in the present that has to do with me as a young boy. And I feel like those are the symbols that are ones to pay attention to in the present.
Yes, when you heal the past, you change your present, because the past is not in the past. It's haunting your present. So your job is to get in touch with what it was like to have your needs be experienced as burdensome, as too much, as shameful, and, you know, and mourn that, grieve that, process that, and so that you can find a new relationship to your own needs, and that you can imagine that other people can as well. Because when the people who raise us think we're too much, then we walk around the world thinking that other people are, of course, going to think we're too much. But when we heal that and say, okay, well, I was too much for them, my parents or my family or whatever, but that doesn't make me inherently too much. Maybe they were underreactors, or maybe they were afraid of their own needs, and so they diminished yours as well as their own. When you heal that, then hunger no longer is a source of shame, because it no longer has the meaning that it used to have.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that's good parenting. If you make your son or daughter feel ashamed for basic needs, but for any need, really, in a sense, because that's not the way we teach people. We don't teach people by beating them up, you know, in a sense. We teach them by example. We teach them by tuning into them.
Yes, you know, Josh, I agree. And here's what's really important. Don't be that parent to yourself. Don't be the one, don't be the shamer to yourself. Give yourself what you never got. Easier said than done, but that's the trick. If you were shamed for being, for being alive and being a person, if you were shamed for that on some level, don't then do that to yourself.
Yeah, that is so good. It's so nourishing for me to hear that from you, for you to say that to me, because inevitably that's what needs to be fixed, is my relationship to myself. And I think that it's gonna be a lot more than just taking it slow, I would say, in the eating process.
Yeah, because that's about food. Like, you know, that's the weed. And what grows the weed is the root. The root is out of sight. It's in the ground. We can't see it, but it creates the weed. If we focus on food, we're focusing on the wrong thing. If we focus on our behavior with food, it's like plucking that weed and hoping it will never grow back. No, we've got to get to the root, which like the emotional roots or psychological roots, they're in our unconscious. They're hidden from us. We can't discern them until we can, with help from somebody else, me in this case, then you can dig them out. But if you just focus on the food part, you get nowhere. That's why diets don't work ever in the long run. They don't address the problem. They only address what you eat. They don't address why.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we eat, that's our big performance for the parents, or especially the mother. You know, I mean, when we eat, that's us, you know, having center stage. And when we, our performance there can change, you know, how we performed the act of eating in front of mom or in front of dad or whoever it was that was feeding us, that performance can be modified.
I think, yes, but looking at it as a performance also puts too much emphasis on the eating part. It's really like, what's eating at you? What's eating at you is, oh, you're not allowed to have needs. Food is a need. Oh, you're not allowed to have needs from somebody else. So therefore, that's why you want to rush relationships, because it's scary to be in that middle part when you meet someone until you have that, you know, until you decide, yes, this is the person. And they've decided, yes, he's the person. So really look at what's motivating these ideas that you have about yourself. Look at the shame, look at the emptiness, look at the deprivation, and give yourself what you didn't get. Again, give yourself understanding, nurturing words, comforting words, reassurance. Yeah, be there for yourself.
Yeah. And I was just going to say that when I asked you the question initially, you said shame and deprivation. And I think they're linked. We've clearly shown that they're linked. And so my way of dealing with that as a child was to eat quickly. And obviously that becomes my entire life. Everything I do is quickly, if I were to probably look at it. And you know, life is short, but in order to live a full life, you know, I think that you can't just hurry the most important things in life. You know, if you're having a moment with a family member, daughter, father, relative, friend, maybe we shouldn't rush those moments. I mean, that's what's coming to mind.
Yes, I think that's a really good place to leave it there, to learn how to be with yourself in a comforting, reassuring, present way, rather than, you know, this difficulty being with yourself. When you can be with yourself and challenge the shame and soothe yourself and comfort yourself and acknowledge yourself and do all of that, it's just such a relaxed way to be in the world, as opposed to feeling as if there's something wrong with you, you're too much, you said the wrong thing, you're going to do the wrong thing, you're going to make a mistake, you're going to get in trouble, something's going on, and all of these things that lead to shame, and then that gets transferred to shame for eating. So I know I gave you a lot to think about, Josh, and I hope you'll call in next week and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, I will. And I just feel, I honestly feel a loss. And I'm sort of mourning the loss that you've helped me to realize. And it's, you know, it's a loss of, I don't know what it is a loss of, but you probably know. But I feel like I can just be with that and sort of allow that to go, and I'll probably be a lot better off because of it.
Some food for thought, as it were, to ponder. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Great.
Well, I shall speak with you next week. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much, too. And it was a pleasure talking with you after maybe a couple weeks off. I don't know. But I look forward to listening to the rest of your show. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Josh.
Okay, great. Talk to you next
time. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
So, you know, as Josh's call illustrates, so often we feel shame about certain things, and that gets transferred to shame about food. We feel shame about ourselves, our needs, our wants, and that gets transferred into shame about eating. And then of course that creates more shame. And so when you really track back and look at, well, where does this come from? And what are the messages you got about your needs, your wants, and how else can you think about that? And how else can you respond to yourself? Things really change. If you were made to feel like you're too much, challenge that idea. If you were made to feel like you were there to take care of other people but have no needs of your own, challenge that idea. What are your needs? What are your wants? Look at them as just part of being human, not as a source of shame. Okay, just I think I have enough time to get through the rest of my, you know, how to be like a dog. How to be like a dog. And you know, this was motivated by my wonderful zany boy, my 165-pound, deaf, partially sighted Great Dane, who is normally here on this couch, but I kicked him out for the show. Okay, dogs exercise when they can. They have fun. They don't think, I really have to make myself go on that walk. It's good for me. It'll burn calories. I have to do it. I have to go on that walk. I've got to go exercise. No. Dogs say, oh, I get to go out. I get to go out. I get to go out. I get to play. I get to run around. It's going to be so awesome. Yay. So find something you like. You are exercising. You're going to feel like you're doing something you love. And by the way, if you've ever picked up a leash and had your dog look very indifferent, as if to say, oh no, I am not moving an inch off this doggy bed. No, no, no. Or in Zane's case, this couch, this bed. Guess what? Dogs do not beat themselves up. They don't say, I am so lazy. I can't believe I don't want to go on a walk. What is wrong with me? God, I suck. No, they just don't go on the walk. Don't make it a character issue if you don't want to exercise. And by the way, if you are telling yourself that you are lazy and that there is something wrong with you, you are going to feel bad because you are shaming yourself. And when you feel bad because you've just made yourself feel bad because of the way you're talking to yourself, guess what? Food is going to help you escape that and feel better. Sharon says, I'm really enjoying your living like a dog lesson. I am so glad. Inspired by Zane, dogs get enough sleep. It's pretty funny because my dog, seriously, when is he not sleeping? It is the understatement of the century to say that dogs get enough sleep. But you know what? When they're tired, they sleep. It sounds so simple, but how many times have you been tired and instead of getting some rest, you eat something with sugar in it to pep you up? Food is not the answer to being tired. Rest is. Sleep is. But lots of people eat when they're tired. They think it's going to work like caffeine and wake them up, but all they do is end up eating more and more and more because it wakes them up and then they get the crash and then they have to eat more sugary something and then they get the crash. So if that sounds familiar, if you can relate to that, channel your inner dog, your inner Zane. Next time you're tired, take a nap. Even 10 minutes can make such a difference, or get some sleep as soon as you can. Dogs express themselves. They express themselves so easily. If they're happy, you know it. And if they are not happy, you know it. Dogs don't think, oh, I really love this person. I love this person so much, but I don't want to show it. I don't want to show it because what if I show that I love this person and they don't feel the same way and they don't love me back? And what if that means I was too much? And what if they think I'm weird? And what if? Dogs just lick you and wag their tails and show you how thrilled they are to meet you or to see you. And if they're upset, they show it. They growl, they bark, or both. They don't think, oh, it's wrong to be angry and upset. This is not a good thing. I am a bad dog because I have these feelings of anger. If someone treats the dog badly, they don't deny their anger. They don't think, I'm not angry at this person. I'm sure there's a perfectly good reason why they treated me in that terrible way. I have no anger. No, what's really upsetting me is the fact that I ate a bagel for breakfast. That's what I'm mad at. I'm so mad at myself. The dogs don't do that. Dogs just say, that person did not treat me well, and I am not happy with that person. I don't like that person. They just bark or growl. And if they're afraid, they lean up against you or they shy away to show that they are frightened. They don't say, I am such a wimp. I need a man up here. Dogs express their feelings. Feelings are a reaction to a situation, not character flaws. You cannot eat away feelings. You cannot push them away, drop them. You cannot positive think them away. You can only feel them. And when you pay attention to your basic needs, your emotional needs, when you focus on your personality instead of your weight, and when you express yourself and connect with others, you will feel better. You really will. And when that happens, you don't need food for comfort or distraction. Remember, if you're turning to food, you are turning away from something else. You've got to look at what is eating at you. Not what you are eating, but why. And ask yourself, if I were not thinking about food, if I were not thinking about my body, if I were not thinking about all of the food, weight, body stuff, if all of that was out of my mind, if I couldn't think about it, what would be on my mind? What would I be thinking about? What would I be worried about? What would I be, what would be bothering me? That's what's eating at you. And when you deal with that, then guess what? You don't eat for comfort. You don't eat for distraction. You don't eat for any other reason than it's breakfast, it's lunch, it's dinner, it's snack time, you're hungry, that's it. It stops being a way to manage something internal. And by the way, we can get so good at using food in this way to manage something internal that we don't even know we're triggered. We get so fast at turning to food. Like, I'm sure you guys have heard my story about the person who was watching TV and watched a show that really triggered her and had no idea that she was being triggered. All she knew was that suddenly, randomly, while she was watching TV, Ben and Jerry's was calling her name. Oh, there's Josh on Instagram saying he feels a lot better. Oh, that is good to hear. You're very welcome, Josh. Just keep pondering these things that we talked about, and you will keep feeling better. When you get to the root, everything changes. When you pull out that root, it's gone for good. That's how you get rid of weeds. So remember, if you are turning to food, it is for a reason. It may be out of your awareness. Like my person who was watching a show, suddenly Ben and Jerry is calling her name. She had no idea that she was being triggered, but she was. When we looked back, she realized watching the show activated all of these feelings, but before they reached her conscious awareness, she turned to ice cream. So even if you don't know what is triggering you, you can focus on what it is that you look at what you're eating, and that helps you understand what's going on with you using my food mood formula, which I'm about to tell you. And then you can respond to yourself. So if you're craving ice cream, if suddenly Ben and Jerry's is calling your name, like it did my patient, then that is a sign that you need comfort. And you need to find a different way of comforting yourself other than ice cream. If it's bulky foods, filling, pizza, pasta, muffins, cake, bagels, hamburgers, stuff like that, things that take up space within, that is a sign that there is a void in your life. There is something missing. There is some void that you are symbolically filling with food. And look at, what is that void? I know it's hard. It's a lot easier to say, oh, I'm not going to eat this or that. It's a lot harder to say, oh, there's something missing in my life. There's something wrong. And I need to look at that and fix it and deal with it. That is hard, but essentially necessary to create change. And the last category is crunchy foods. If you find yourself going for chips or pretzels or anything with a bite, that means there's some kind of anger that you are not expressing. Look at where in your life are you feeling anger? And anger doesn't have to mean full-blown rage. Anger is also frustration and irritation and annoyance. So where else, other than you being mad at yourself for what you're eating, where in your life are you feeling angry? What's going on that's making you feel angry? What's going on that's making you feel like you're missing something, that there is a void of some kind? And where in your life do you need comfort? And when you can start to comfort yourself in a new way with words instead of actions, with words instead of food, comfort words, not comfort food, then you make yourself feel better. And when you do that, you don't need to escape yourself by eating. And like anything, you know, practice makes progress. It's not something that you can do overnight. And you didn't learn this way of relating to yourself and to food overnight. Babies do not come out of the womb unable to cope and feeling shame and needing to use food to cope or to express emotional pain or to do all the myriad of different things that eating can do. We learn this way of relating to ourselves. And what we learn, we can unlearn and we can find a new way. So thank you so much for joining me here today on the Dr. Nina Show. I am here every Wednesday at 11 Pacific live on LA Talk Radio and Instagram, or you can listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere where you get podcasts. If you would like to connect with me outside of the show, please go to Facebook and join my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community. I would love to meet you there and connect with you there and have you join a community full of women and men who are there to support you and help you on your journey and who get it, who really get it, and who are ready to join the post-diet revolution. Woohoo! Lebanese Blonde, you are very welcome. Everybody, take good care. Stay curious, not critical. Be kind to yourself. Think about what is eating at you instead of focusing on what you are eating. And I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.